Name of God, who creates, who redeems, and who gives life. Amen. Morning to you all. I want to thank Sarah. It's good to see her here this morning with us. And I breathe, of course, a great big sigh of relief because I'm here as your preacher for the day. But it's great to be up here with Sarah, and I thank you, her and your vestry, for inviting me to share this pulpit and your altar this morning. Sarah is really one of the good priests of your diocese, so you take care of her, and she's a great one, and it's wonderful for me because I'm getting to know her better and better with doing things like this. Let me introduce myself to you. I am Norman Ishizaki. That's a mouthful, so I'd rather be called Father Norm or Father Norman, or just plain Norm, if you'd like. I am the retired rector of St. Albans Episcopal Church. That's located in Westwood, right across the street from the main entrance to UCLA. I'm married. My wife, Velda, is not with me this morning. She spends one Sunday a month going down to Juvenile Hall, and she goes there for their 8 o'clock Mass and the Roman Catholic Mass, and then stays there and talks and has breakfast with, I don't know what you call them, inmates, I guess, of the Juvenile Hall system, but she loves it. Very rewarding work for her. But I miss her when she does that. Velda and I met at UCLA. It was my home parish, St. Albans. Our daughter and son-in-law both went to UCLA. Our oldest grandson goes to UCLA, is on the football team. So, as you can imagine, we're Bruins through and through, and I know all you Trojans out there will introduce yourselves to me as you leave. But anyway, I'm great. I have a good time being here this morning. Retirement is wonderful, as you can imagine. Being a priest, of course, we get to exercise our sacerdotal ministry and keep going on. We had invitations to preach. I baptize on occasion. I have an occasional funeral. I had a wedding of a longtime friend in Washington, D.C. last year. So it's a great thing. And I was telling Sarah, I just don't have to go to meetings, you know, and it's a great thing to be retired and still exercise all this ministry and yet not have to do fundraising and all that sort of stuff. After my retirement, we sold our house in Westwood and moved then to Manhattan Beach, and we're now very much enjoying our retirement years there. In fact, I get to walk near the ocean every day of my life, and that's, as you can imagine, is a wonderful thing. Okay, let me share a little secret with you. Priests hate first sermons. Yeah, it's like a first date. I was never so happy to get married, I don't think, in my life, because I had no more first dates. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But it's kind of like that, where you want to introduce yourself. You want people to know a little bit about you, and yet make sure that you know, that they see a lot more, that they see perhaps a spiritual side to you as well. So this first sermon is a little bit, you know, I want to get to the second one, or, you know, to the next one anyway. I had, of course, a great ministry. I've known many, many bishops. I have many, many stories about them. I've known your rectors all the way back to Bob Terigny, and every single one of them, Dean Farrar, you know, I still see on occasion, that kind of thing. And it's wonderful getting to know Sarah, and I'm picking up stories as I go along, which is great. But I digress. This morning we had a terrific gospel story about Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Last Sunday, I was so happy that Sarah was preaching. You know, I was here in the congregation, got introduced, but the first Sunday after Easter is always the gospel story of Doubting Thomas. And after preaching maybe 30 sermons on that, I was very happy to let Sarah do the work. And she did a great job, actually, on that one. You know, just like the first Sunday after Christmas is always the prologue of John, which is really a great piece of scripture to preach on. But today you heard the story of Emmaus. It's one of my favorite stories. I hope when I finish this homily, it will be one of your favorite stories from the New Testament. It is a stunning, stunning little pericope because it reminds me so much of the essential part that we call our faith. What is it that is essential to your faith? How would you answer that? This story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus provides that answer. What is essential to my faith? It is to know Jesus. Now, I meet Jesus in two ways. The first way I meet Jesus is in each one of you. Last week I was here. This morning I was already been here for the 8 o'clock service. And it has been a joy because I have been embraced and greeted and welcomed by every single person that I've met. And that includes little gals, as well as, you know, adults and many people older than I, if that's possible, older than I. So it's been a joy though, because that's where I see Jesus. I meet him in you. You are all ambassadors for Christ. That's your job. And in some way, you bring part of Christ to me. Each one of you is an Easter person. That's the first way I meet Jesus. The second way I meet Jesus is in Holy Scripture. That is why I love the story this morning about Jesus on the way to Emmaus. Jesus does what with his disciples? He opens the Scriptures to his disciples. He opens them up. Is that not great? At St. Albans, where I was rector for so long, our Bible study groups were called, guess what? Emmaus groups. Because it was on the road to Emmaus that Jesus opened up the Scriptures. And that's what we did at St. Albans, studying the Scripture, was sharing and having them opened up to all of us. Now, I would like you to take two things away from this morning's homily, and they are embedded in this wonderful story of Jesus on this road. One of the things that I love about the Episcopal Church is that we tell people, you know, when you come to church, We don't want you to check your brains at the door. We want you to bring your brains in with you and grow and deepen and be nourished and nurture others in return. We don't want you to check your brains at the door. And you might wonder, in Scripture, where does it say something like that? Well, it says it in this morning's story. For Jesus engages his disciples, and he tells them in so many words, that's what he's doing on this road, is he's saying, don't just follow me blindly. Don't just follow me with unquestioned about what you're doing. You're supposed to use your brains. They're a God-given gift. So bring them with you. Sharpen your intellect while you're with us. I had a friend, you know, because he hears me say that. And so he sent me a story. Probably tells you more about my friends than it does about me. But he sent me a little story about how to remember this. How to use your brains. There are four questions that he sent, and I want to share them with you this morning. And this is to carry this thought with you when you leave. First question is, how do you put a giraffe into a refrigerator? The correct answer is, open the refrigerator, put in the giraffe, and close the door. This question tests whether you tend to do simple things in an overly complicated way. Second question is, how do you put an elephant into the refrigerator? Did you say, open the refrigerator, put in the elephant, and close the door? Wrong answer. The correct answer is, open the refrigerator, take out the giraffe, put in the elephant, and close the door. This tests your ability to think through the repercussions of your previous actions. Yeah, I tell you. It tells you a lot about my friend, doesn't it? Third question. There are only four. Third question. The Lion King. The Lion King is hosting an animal conference. All the animals attend except one. But you figured this one out already. Which animal does not attend? The correct answer is, of course, the elephant. The elephant is in the refrigerator. You just put him there. This tests your memory. My short-term memory just started going, but okay, anyway. Maybe if you missed any of these first three questions, you have one more chance. There's four questions to show your true ability. Fourth and last question. There is a river. And this is a river you must cross. But it is inhabited by crocodiles. And you do not have a boat. How do you manage it? Get to the other side. The correct answer is, you jump into the river, swim across. Have you not been listening? All the crocodiles are attending the animal conference. This tests whether you learn quickly from previous information. It's fun. Yeah. Can you imagine walking along with Jesus and and he's telling you, don't check your brains at the door. Use your brains. Pay attention. Be inquisitive. Challenge. Grow. That's the first thing I wanted. The second thing to take with you is another great insight for me from the story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. The very last line of the gospel story, if you look back on it, they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. In this crucial event, the disciples recognize him as the risen Lord. Therefore, the second thing I would like you to take from this homily this morning is to answer yet one last question. And I want to ask of you this morning, because it is about the breaking of the bread. It is about this sacrament in which we receive grace in a very special way. I mean, that's why I'm an Episcopalian. I mean, one is that I don't check my brains at the door. The second is that this grace, Sarah will be the celebrant, and she will be breaking bread with all of you, with all of us. And we don't have to do anything. God does the work. We just come here and receive the grace. So I ask you, what is the holiest moment of the Eucharist for you? Now, of all the things we're doing this morning, what's the holiest moment of the Eucharist for you? Let me share what mine is. And I hope for many of you it's the same moment, or it might become your holiest moment as well. For me, the holiest moment of the Eucharist is when I receive the body of Christ in my open hands. When I receive the grace of God with my hands open, I have to let go of all the baggage I bring. Whether that's sadness, whether that's anger, whether that's misunderstanding, whether it's just delusions, whatever it is, I have to let go to receive God's grace. If I have my hands clenched in a fist, I cannot receive the grace of God. So the holiest moment for me is when I open up, let go, and let God into my life. It is the very meaning of Easter. Let old things die, old ways and patterns of life die, so that new life, renewed life, can take place. It is for me the holiest moment. It is sacred. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.